Tyson Foods is the largest chicken producer in the country, and it made a big announcement this week. It said it's going to stop using antibiotics, also used in humans, by September of 2017. This follows McDonald's announcement in March that over the next 2 years, it's going to stop serving chicken raised with human antibiotics. We want to know what's leading to these changes in doing business. Tamar Haspel writes about the intersection of food and science in the Unearthed column in the Washington Post. Tamar, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
What does Tyson Foods, Inc. do now regarding the rearing of its poultry, and what's it going to do differently?
What they do now is pretty much conventional practices in the industry, which includes the use of antibiotics. Sometimes some companies use antibiotics to promote growth, but often they use antibiotics, subtherapeutic levels of antibiotics, to prevent disease as well. It's a fine line. And what Tyson has said they're going to do is phase out completely the use of the antibiotics that are used in humans. There are still antibiotics that are used in animals that they will use.
And so why is it making this move?
Probably for a combination of reasons. One reason is that the FDA has recently issued guidance to industry asking for antibiotic makers to remove the growth promotion purpose from their labels, which would make it technically illegal to use antibiotics for growth promotion. But again, because it's a fine line that antibiotics do kill bacteria, so it can be used to prevent disease. Another big issue is consumer pressure. We're seeing a lot of consumer pressure across the board on food. We're seeing it on GMOs, we're seeing it on additives, and we're seeing it on antibiotics as well. And Tyson isn't the first company to respond. Purdue announced that they would aggressively reduce antibiotics last year. And we see other companies responding to other issues. Chipotle just announced that they were going to remove GMOs from some of their offerings. And consumers seem increasingly interested in the source and the content of their food.
Now, that's interesting. By the way, when you talk about GMOs, that's genetically modified organisms. When you talk about the pressure that these companies are feeling from consumers, they've been feeling pressure from the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, for something like 45 years now, because it was that long ago that the FDA first encouraged companies to stop using antibiotics to accelerate the growth of, say, chickens. So how effective has the FDA been compared to consumer pressure?
I think it's hard to say whether one is more effective than the other, but what we have now is a combination of the two, which I don't think we've ever seen on this issue before. It was in 2009 that the FDA first came out and took a stand on this issue, a firm stand, although, as you say, it started back in the 70s. But that's about the same time that consumers started to really be interested in this issue, that antibiotic resistance became something that we see in the news. And so it really is, I think, the 1-2 punch of the FDA and the consumer expressing concern about this. And in some ways, this is some of these companies maybe making a virtue of necessity. They are afraid that more stringent regulations may be coming down the pike. And if they can get ahead of it, it's a good PR move as well as a good move for public health.
And why is the FDA concerned about this at all? I mean, when a chicken or even a cow or a pig is ingesting antibiotics that are used on humans, and part of that livestock makes it to our dinner plate, we consume it, does it make us more resistant to antibiotics?
No, that's not the way that the public health problem works, because there aren't antibiotics in the meat itself. Any antibiotics that are fed to animals are cleared from those animals' systems before that meat gets to your table. But the issue is that every time you administer antibiotics, those bacteria have a chance to develop resistance to it. So when antibiotics are administered over and over at subtherapeutic levels, you get the development of antibiotic-resistant bacteria on the farm.
So you're saying that if bacteria are flourishing on the farm, then that's going to cause problems for humans no matter what?
Down the line, yeah. Because there are all kinds of ways that bacteria can get out of the barnyard and into places where humans are more likely to be found.
Does this seem to be a particularly fertile period for change in the food production industry, both with, say, Tyson and Purdue and McDonald's announcement in March that it's going to stop serving chicken raised with human antibiotics, and also in the practices of people who eat meat? I mean, it seems like it's an especially transformative time?
I think it is. I think people are starting to pay a lot of attention, not just to their meat, but to their food in general. And they're pressuring companies to reformulate products and to adopt different kinds of practices. And we see all kinds of companies responding in different ways, from Whole Foods, which has codified standards for animal welfare, and other markets are beginning to step in and do the same thing. And in a lot of ways, consumer pressure, I think, is one of the key drivers of some of these improvements in our food system.
Tamar Haspel writes about the intersection of food and science in the Unearthed column in the Washington Post. We spoke to her about Tyson Foods' announcement that in 2 years it's going to stop using human antibiotics in its chicken flocks. Nice to speak with you, Tamar.
Thanks, Lisa.
Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Lisa Mullins.
I'm Robin Young. This is Here and Now.